All right, greetings in Christ's precious name. This week I received a devotional in an email, and I guess it made me think a little bit. I thought about it a number of times, and as I was preparing for my sermon, I guess my mind went back to that. And the title, and I'm going to use the title they had, was Approved by God. And I guess it just made me think about that. You know, as God looks down and sees us, does he approve of my life? Does he approve of the things I'm doing? And I guess my mind went to, a lot of people, like for advertising, if you make a product, you want famous people to like it and approve it, and it puts it out there. It's a good advertising tool, and you'll see it stamped on somewhere, approved by whoever. And as we go through life, as much as we probably don't admit it, we all are seeking the approval of others. We all are trying to do things that others would approve of, others would look at, and they would like that. And maybe for a verse to start on, go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I want to pull out here a verse. Let's read just verse 15 for right now. 2 Timothy 2, verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's where we got the title, probably from that verse. That was the first verse that they had used. And I'm going to go a different direction than what they had in that devotional, but it gets our minds going. Look at that. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Have you ever thought about that? Have you looked back over your week and look at the things you've done? Do you believe that God would approve of it? Would he look down and put his stamp of approval on your life this morning? The things, the choices I made, the words I said, the disagreement I had with my brother, my sister, my spouse, whoever, the way I treated my children, is God's approval stamped there? And am I living in a way that shows that God's approval is there? And I believe we all know we're going to talk about how we get God's approval later on in the message. But I want us to just think about that. Study to show thyself approved unto God. You know, am I spending time in God's word? Because to be approved by God, that means I'm going to be doing things that he wants me to do. I'm going to be doing things that I know that he wants of me. And the main, I believe, two ways we learn what God wants and what God approves. And first of all, in his word, and second is in prayer. Those two things. And then I believe his spirit can work through us. There's a couple verses we could quickly look at. Maybe 1 Thessalonians 4:1. You know, not all of these talk about the approval of God, but so often I believe we tend to go through life and we're worried so much about what others, if they're approving of us. Am I worried about my Creator, the holy God that I serve? Am I worried that I have his approval? But 1 Thessalonians 4:1 says, furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. And in other words, he's saying, the writer here, he says, we have taught you what you need to know how to please God. And this morning, there's some points I have later on here that I believe can help us live a life that's approved by God. And this writer here is saying, I have taught you, I have exhorted you, I have showed you these things, that as you receive them, how you ought to walk and to please God. And in saying that, I believe we bring pleasure to God when we walk in his teachings, when we live a life that is in his approval. God loves that. I believe as we, for me, I guess that really struck me anyhow, to live a life that God looks down and is pleased by. And maybe jump into Matthew quickly. We're going to come back to Matthew later on too also, but I wanted to look at a verse here, chapter 25, we'll read 21 first. And we're jumping into this, but of the parable of the talents. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." And also verse 23. And he says, his Lord said unto him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." As you look at this here, what more do you want God to tell you? You know, I can't imagine what it would be like, I guess, to stand before God this morning. If God would call us all home and we would stand before Him, would He be able to say that to us? You know, as I look back over my life, you know, we talk about hindsight being 20/20. You can look back, you know what you should have done different. You know the direction, but you can't change that. Those choices have been made. But as we live in life, am I living in a way that I can look back without regret? I can look back, and you know, later on, Paul, he says, "I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith." You know, you think about that. And we're jumping into this on the talents. We're going to come back to this later on, but I want us to think about that a little bit. You know, the approval as God comes and He looks at our lives, the things that He's given us, have I taken them and brought more to God, or have I hidden them? As if we went down and read through there, we would read about the one that had one talent. He went and buried it. And let's just read that one verse in verse 26. There, his Lord answered and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10. We'll stop there. What do you want? What would God say this morning as He looked at our lives? As He looks at the opportunity He's given us? Maybe it's a second opportunity that He gave you. Maybe He gave you another chance. Maybe there was something in your life that He spoke to and He gave you opportunity and you threw it away. Whatever it is, we want to be like the first two servants there. Maybe it's not much. Maybe we feel like we don't got anything to offer God, and that's what God wants. He wants us to be humble. But He also wants us to use the things that He gives us to further His kingdom. I want to go on now and bring out some things that I believe how we can live a life approved by God. I think the very first and foremost thing is we need to determine to keep the faith till the end. Let's look at a verse in 2 Timothy 4. Verse 5, we'll start reading at verse 5. "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I've fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." I believe Paul was facing death at the end of his life here, and he realized it at this time. And, you know, we probably have all seen men, you know, both sides. We've seen broken men that come to the end of their lives, you know, maybe they were successful in business. Maybe they had things in life that looked like things were going good. But as they come to the end, they're broken because their family, their spouse, so many things that they realize matter aren't in order. And maybe we've seen the other side, those that come to the end of their life and they look back and they are like Paul here. You know, I believe as Paul looked back, he knew he was human. He recognized his weaknesses. He failed, but he got back up. He dealt with those things and he moved on. And as Paul looked back, he says, watch, look, be careful, he says there in verse 5. Endure afflictions. And he doesn't give you a whole list of things to do. He says, to do the work of an evangelist. And I believe that's talking to all of us. That's not just to the ministry this morning. That's talking to each one of us. Am I worried about the souls of others? He says, make full proof of thy ministry. And as Paul looks at death here, I see no fear. I see no worried, you know, if he stood before God, what God the Lord would tell him. I believe as he looked back, he believed that he had lived. As he said, I fought a good fight. I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. He says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. If you just look back over the last week of your life, could you say that? Could you answer the way Paul did here? You know, one thing I noticed about Paul is there's a lot of different types of people in this world. But some people, let's think about a race for a little bit. You know, if you're in a race, I obviously didn't run, as you can tell probably, but I know that people that run, they save their energy. It's not just, you know, you run hard and then slow down, run hard. They save themselves. I remember we had a young man that came to church when I was in school, and he loved to run. And he tried to teach us. He said there's a proper way to run and to save your energy until you saw the finish line, and then you would give it everything. And he always said, don't look at the tape, because in a race, there's always that tape, and the first one that breaks that wins. He said, look beyond that. And I think about in life, we're in a race, and there's that tape there. That's when we meet the Lord. We look beyond that. We look to Jesus. Jesus is beyond that, and he's beckoning to us. As I think about that, Paul didn't live where, you know, there was high enthusiasm, and the next day he was discouraged. You know, sometimes I believe people live with a burst of enthusiasm, then there's that chronic inertia. And Paul understood the race of faith was a lifelong marathon. It was a race to the end. There's no time to stop and try other things, to stop and look around, stop and look back. When you do that, you start over. And I believe we as Christians don't want to be known to be like that. And I believe we as Christians need to be careful. Maybe are we the type of people that only do God's work when other Christians see that? Am I the type of person that I'm only willing to serve if I know it's going to benefit me in some way? I'm only going to care for people if it's going to somehow return to me, or somehow others will see it. That's the type of Christians that Paul, I believe, was talking about. Instead, we want to run hard. We want to serve hard every day. Not for anything other than we realize God's eye is upon us, and we are seeking for God's approval this morning. I want to go back to the talents in there in Matthew 25. You're welcome to turn there. I want to look at this a little bit. believe we're going to start reading at verse 4. We're going to read the whole parable, I believe. We'll start reading at verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them another 5 talents. Likewise he that had received 2 also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. We're going to stop there for a little bit and look at a couple points I want to pull out of there. And, this is often described as Jesus leaving and the things that he has given us here on earth. And look at that verse 15. He says, he gave 5 to one, another 2 to another 1. And it says, to every man according to his several ability. In other words, as he looked at each individual, he saw their hearts. He saw their minds, their goals in life. And he gave them what he knew they could handle. And I guess that really stood out to me as I studied, is to realize that, sometimes we ask God, why? Why did you allow this person into my life? Why did this situation, whatever it was? But I guess this really spoke to me to think about God gives us as he sees us. And he realizes we can handle it. Sometimes whatever it is, the situation, it just seems too hard for us. But to realize that God is looking down and he gives us something according to our ability. And God gives each one different things. That's the other point there. He gave one person 1 talent because that's all that person could handle. And these talents can represent many things. I'm not sure that we could really put a name to it, I guess, really, for what it is. But I believe it can start with our resources, the things that God has blessed us with financially or whatever it is. But I believe it goes deeper than that. Sometimes it's our time. Maybe it's our opportunities that God brings into our lives, like we talked about a little bit ago. I believe God does give each one opportunity. And sometimes, I don't know about you, sometimes I'm almost afraid to pray that God gives me opportunity because I'm scared that I won't take the opportunities God gives me. Let's keep going here. I want to look how they handle these talents. I think I stopped at verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained besides them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And I'm going to stop there. I want to maybe name these talents a little bit. And I'm going to label the first one time. Because we all have time. Maybe we don't have finances. Maybe we don't have the opportunities we believe. But we all have time. And you think about the time God has given you. If the Lord came today and stood here and showed you your time, what would your report card look like with your time? Could you say, Lord, I took the time you gave me and I've done these things? Or as Jesus looks at the time that he gave us, what did I do with that? And this is for youngest to the oldest, because I'm still young. I remember at 16, looking ahead, you think you have the world in front of you. There's so much time. And, it's just 3 years ago that as I lay in the hospital bed, I realized that time wasn't mine. Time is God's. And you can, but as you lay there anyhow, you can look back and you have a lot of time to think. And some people do, some people don't. But I did. And to think about the time God gave me, what did I do with it? So this first person, we're going to say the Lord gave him time. And we can't put an amount of time, but we all have time. How are you using your time? The next one there, he that also received two talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me two talents. Behold, I have gained two other talents besides that, besides them. This, I believe, could be anything. It can be our finances. It can be our opportunities, our abilities, maybe, whatever it is. Am I taking these things that God blesses me with and using them to further his kingdom? The money that he blesses me with, does it further the work of the church, the school, whatever it is? The opportunities. If the Lord stood before me and said, I gave you opportunity with your neighbor yesterday, what did you do with it? Whoever, wherever. Maybe it's a brother and sister in the church. And then we come to the last person here. He says, his Lord's, I'm not sure if I read verse 23. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Verse 24, then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto them every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. This last person here that we're looking at, the one talent, and I believe it could be anything. It can be anything from our time to our finances to opportunities, whatever it is. But, you know, you look at this man, and, you know, look at his excuse here. He says, I knew thou art a hard man. You know, he knew that that as an employer, he reaped where he had not sown. He took things that he gained by whatever means necessary. He says, I was afraid. I went and hid my talent. Do you think the other two were afraid? Do you think they had fears? I guess as I looked at those excuses, I had to think in my own life, what excuse do I give? What excuse do I give for missed opportunities? What excuse do I give for time that is wasted? Time that I take and I want for myself. What excuse do I give for my finances, the way I use them? You know, as the Lord said, he took that talent, he gave it to the one that had, because he says he's using it. The Lord said, you could have at least put that in usury so that it would have gained me something. You know, the time that I have, the Lord could look down as he looks at me. Could he say, I should have given that time to the other brother there? He would have used it to gain something for me. The finances, the opportunities, whatever it is. As he looks at my life and says, I should have given it to another. What a sad way to look at life. You know, we can all look around today. We can see where others are living that way. But I want us to just look personally. What am I doing? How am I handling the talents God has given me? Last little part of the sermon here, I want to look in back in 2 Timothy. You know, there needs to be a goal. And the one that's running that race, if he looks at that finish line, he gives up because that little ribbon is so far away in front of him. But as he looks beyond that and sees Jesus, he sees the reason. For the one that's running a race in life, you know, they see that cup. They see that fame. They see whatever it is that they're seeking. You and I look beyond the finish and we see Christ. And Christ beckons us. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. He says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. We press on in faith because we know there is a crown of righteousness awaiting. That's beautiful. As I think about that, there is something that we are running this race for. And, you know, it's not something that I do in my own strength. The race of life is not something that is run lightly or carelessly. It's run in faith. It's run with our hand in the Lord's, I believe. It's run when I cry out to Him and recognize my weakness and recognize that on my own I can't do this. Philippians 1:6, I'll just read it quickly. It says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul's confidence here in the Philippians, I believe, as he wrote this, he was basing it on the works that he's seen, what was coming out of them, their zeal, their sacrifices. And he said, the work that the Lord has started there, it will continue. The Lord will see it through. I believe it's the same for us today. As I start my Christian life, no matter how young you are, how old you are when you start, the Lord will give you the strength to see it through. The Lord is there for you. If on your own, you will fail. On your own, you fall back into those things that you despise so much about yourself. But with Jesus, there's victory. And we can look around. We can blame our failures on others. We can blame our failures on whatever. But Jesus says, I am the way out. I am, as you look at that finish line, look at Jesus. He is there beckoning. God will complete what He started in you if we continue in His will. Hebrews, I want to turn there quickly. Some promises the Lord gives us. Let's go to chapter 13. Verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's a promise the Lord gives us. And that's a promise that we need to take with us. As we think about that, living in the approval, how do we live in the approval? And sometimes we wonder if we're in His approval. But take those verses, think about that. God promises to never leave or forsake you. And that's a beautiful thought. Because there are times in our life where we question everything that we're in. Because we ask, where are you, God? Well, that's a promise. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And jump over to chapter 12 now in Hebrews. Verse 1, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, some days that finish line looks a long way. It looks unattainable, maybe. But look to Jesus. He's the author and finisher. In other words, He started it and He'll finish it. And it says, for the joy that was set before Him, He looked ahead to what God had. He endured the cross. The shame that went with that. And He's now living with God. And the same goes for each one of us. Am I living in a way? Am I looking to Jesus as my author? Is He the one that has started my journey for me and is finishing it with me? I read this and I found this, I just think about it, it's maybe a little hard to understand. You can write it down if you want, but a little saying, it says, Never underestimate the impact of a single life lived to God's glory. Consider the prospect of standing before your Heavenly Father as a worker approved. And you will come to the place where in humility you say, Lord, I want to do my best to know your approval in my life. I am only one, but I am one. What I can do, I ought to do. And what I ought to do, by God's grace, I will do. As I read that, I guess sometimes we have this excuse, it's just me, I can't do much on my own, and that's right, on my own I can't. But with God, I can be the talents He gives me, whatever it is, my time, you put it in whatever is in there. What is the talent that maybe, as you look over your life, maybe you're wasting this morning? God's given you opportunity, take it and use it, spend it, and be spent for God and His work. Let's be faithful and let's live lives approved by God. Let's have a song, we'll ask Jesse to close the service.